Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And breathe in, out.
Hey.
What?
What are you doing over there?
I'm breathing in and out.
You're scaring me.
Okay, well, this is only the beginning.
And I came back for this.
Yes, we have Joe back. He's back. He's back from Mars, or where were you?
I think it was in Texas the last time.
Texas, yes.
You know, the deep south.
We tried to replace you with Cat with a C.
I'm sure it worked out well.
It worked out beautifully, but we missed you.
But nobody could replace me.
No, nobody could replace you, and it was really tough without you here.
Okay.
Okay. National holidays from holidayinsights.com for the week of December 4th.
Ta-da!
December 5th is bathtub party day.
Oh, now I understand In-N-Out.
Draw yourself a tub full of warm water, add a few bath oil beads, and voila, you are ready to hop in and soak it in the bathtub. How soothing and relaxing. Don't let anything disturb the peace, quiet, and serenity of your bath. Turn off your cell phone. Put on your favorite CDs to a volume where you can't hear the doorbell ring. The creators of this day at wellcat.com encourage you to invite a friend to your bathtub party.
Woohoo!
I'm hoping they're talking about a rubber duck. Light some
rubber
candles.
Rubber ducky, you're my friend.
Open a bottle of wine and have some snacks within reach. It's sure to be a great time. Thank you.
No worries.
That helped a lot.
I've been gone a week. I'm allowed to be honorary today.
Anyway, good. Yeah, happy bathtub.
December 5th. It's repeal day, celebrating the 21st Amendment ending prohibition.
I'll drink to that.
Here.
Nice glass of wine.
And then jump in the bathtub.
Yeah, there you go.
With your duck. Anyways, birthdays this week from holidayinsights.com. December 5th, 1901, Walt Disney, animator, entertainment, and filmmaker.
Ah, I love that.
Yes.
Love to laugh.
December 10th. 1851, Melvin Dewey, librarian, creator of the Dewey Decimal System.
Gotta be really quiet. When you use his system, you gotta be really quiet.
Wait a minute, speaking of Walt Disney, I saw a great movie last week.
What's that?
I went and saw The Muppets.
Aww.
Every bad
Is it wonderful?
Pun and joke that you ever imagined was back home and I'm loving every moment of
That's
it.
That's what they do.
Loved it.
That's what they do.
It's amazing how many adults were laughing more than the kids.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Those movies. I'm not sure they're made for children sometimes. This day in history from holidayinsights.com, December 7th, 1877, Thomas Edison exhibited the phonograph, and teenagers have been driving their parents crazy ever since.
Hear, hear.
And December 10th, 1964, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. received the Nobel Peace Prize. So, do you know what the theme is for today?
Let's see. Rubber ducks.
No.
Not rubber ducks.
Not rubber ducks.
Not birthday parties.
Not
or bathtubs.
No.
Walt Disney. Got to be quiet about this.
Oh, peace prize.
And phonographs.
Yes.
Rock and roll, baby!
No.
Oh, it's not rock and roll?
No. Breathe in, breathe out.
I'm not going to sleep if you don't stop that.
Well, that would be good. That would be one step toward the theme today.
Oh, snooze.
Relax.
Snore.
Relax.
No, I can't.
No, that's the theme. Relax.
No, it's really, I can't.
Which brings us to the other part of the theme, which is stress. Kind of a dual theme day. Hey, relax and stress day.
I got one question.
What?
Why isn't December 6th mentioned here?
Because it had nothing to do with stress or relaxation.
But we always got to give props to our veterans.
I know. It's Veterans Day on December 6th. No,
not
it's
veterans.
Not Veterans Day. I didn't like history very much in school.
That's okay.
It's that other day that veterans celebrate.
Yeah,
Pearl Harbor.
We give props to all veterans out there.
Yes, we do.
Current, serving, and otherwise.
Yes, we do.
And I'm one of you guys, so.
Yay.
Okay,
our curious saying or word for the day is couch potato.
Now, that's a relaxing position.
Yes, it is. And this is from Answers.com. Very few words have a birthday so precise and so precisely known as couch potato. It was on July 15th, 1976, we are told, that couch potato came into being. Uttered by Tom Iacino of Pasadena, California, during a telephone conversation. He was a member of a Southern California group humorously opposing the fads of exercise and healthy diet in favor of vegetating before the TV and eating junk food. Because their lives centered on television, the boob tube, as it was called, they called themselves the boob tubers, spelled T-U-B-E-R-S. Iacino apparently took the brilliant next step and substituted potato as a synonym for tuber.
Thank you.
Thinking of where that potato sits to watch the tube, he came up with the couch potato.
Or, so the story, goes, as told in the subsequent resignation of Coach Potato, or Couch Potato, as a trademark.
Coach Potato, that's who's coaching the game that you're watching when you're on the couch.
I'm telling you. In any case, when the new phrase reached the ears of Robert Armstrong, another member of the Boob Tubers, he drew a cartoon of a potato on a couch, formed a club called the Couch Potatoes, registered a trademark, and began merchandising couch potato paraphernalia, from t-shirts to dolls. He published a newsletter called The Tuber's Voice, the Couch Potato Newsletter, and a book, Mr. Spud's Etiquette for the Couch Potato.
I missed that whole part.
I can tell you all about it.
Okay. Well, some of my best friends are couch
potatoes. I'm not saying he's not my hero, but...
Okay. Top five list time.
Oh, no. Not another list of 17,521 phrases.
Or nine. From top5.com. It's the holiday season. Did you shop on Black Friday?
No.
I tried to shop online on Cyber Monday, and my computer just kept, that little clock timer thing on the computer just kept twirling and twirling.
You know, if I want to get in the throwdown with a bunch of people, I'll just go to a bar and drink and have real fun. Trying to keep up with those little old women when their little stabby little elbows slam into you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, too.
Not my style.
Well, anyway, it's the holiday. So I have a list here. The top nine signs the holiday season has people stressed out, part one.
Dun, 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 dun.
Number nine, Santa writes a preemptive note requesting a glass of milk and a bottle of Tylenol.
Number eight, the person in front of you in line is drinking a Red Bull, just ordered three double shots of cappuccinos, and has no idea he just wet himself.
Number seven, all of the best mall parking spots are only available from scalpers on eBay.
True. Or the Demolition Derby contest. Number six, you're so desperate for the unique gift ideas, you post a winning $2,500 bid for a grilled cheese sandwich with the image of Newt Gingrich.
Oh, don't laugh, Joe.
I know. I'm in trouble already.
Don't laugh, because if your present comes with a little plastic bag for me, you know what it is.
Oh, joy.
Number five, the office party this year features a big bowl of my Lantel Nog.
Number four, travel agents see surge in post-holiday bookings to relaxing Baghdad.
Number three, some guy is ringing the bell outside of stores and collecting money for the salvation of Arnie.
Bad. Number two, that pedestrian you cut off in the parking lot decided to scrape your paint job with her fingernails.
And the number one sign the holiday season has people stressed out?
The biggest seller at the mall, Starbucks, is Prosecco with Valium sprinkles.
Prosecco. With Valium sprinkles.
You were waiting for that one, weren't you?
Yes, I was. That was my favorite one. That's why it was number one.
Prosecco. What is a Prosecco?
It's something that will calm you down.
Prozac.
Oh. Chino.
Never mind.
Valium.
I'm slow sprinkles. On the uptake today.
Okay. You're all right. It's okay.
Prosecco.
Kat, can you pass him some of his meds? Would be better.
I'll take a Prosecco, please.
I found a Dumb Criminals about stress.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Or at least it has the word stress in it.
Sounds good.
This is from dumbcriminals.com. And it's called Deposit Your Brains at the Bank.
Okay.
Banks are such stressful places, you're herded into long lines that feel like rat mazes. You're forced to fill out boring forms just so the bank can tell you you're broke. And it's all there for your convenience. So, it's no wonder that a bank robber accidentally left his wallet at the scene, according to the Associated Press.
Police said they found the wallet and helped them find a suspected bank robber. If you find the robber's wallet at the scene, then you can remove the suspected moniker. The wallet had a driver's license, a social security card, and best of all, a criminal registration card. The only way this story could be sweeter if his wallet had a Mensa membership card in it.
Oh, my.
I think that's an oxymoron.
That's as bad as me leaving the groceries at the grocery store the other day. Paid for them, did the whole thing, got in the car, got halfway home, realized, I think there's no groceries in the back of the car.
That or you were very hungry. One of the two.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, that's not...
Oh, yeah. We have a rant. We have the weekly rant.
And who needs Prozac?
No, I just need that. What is it? Ginkgo? The stuff that makes your memory better?
I don't know. I forgot.
Ginkgo. I don't know.
Yeah. I forgot.
I did, too. If I could remember your name, I'd ask you where I put my keys.
Who?
Yes. Who? The weekly rant from crack.com.
All right.
This is about things that annoy you every day, as explained by science.
All right, folks, stand by. This is going to be bad. I mean, good.
A theoretical physicist named Jeffrey West was studying the population growth of various cities when he noticed something weird. Basically, every time a city doubled in population, there was an inevitable 15% increase in, well, everything. The crime rate, pollution, disease, good stuff like productivity and creativity, and baffling specific stuff like the speed at which people walk along sidewalks. Double the citizens, everything went up by almost exactly 15% no matter where he looked.
You know, it's weird to think of human behavior as predictable. It's not like criminals read the latest census information, do some quick calculations, and put on their murder gloves to go out and fill their quota. But it turns out that a lot of the things that annoy us about daily existence are governed by scientific law and systems we're not even aware of.
Yeah, and the first one, this makes me crazy.
All right.
Public cell phone conversations.
Greed.
Yeah, you're sitting on the train, or we don't have trains here, maybe the bus, trying to concentrate on the notebook in which you're composing your latest rock opera. I do that all the time on the bus.
Party on, dude.
Yeah. When the guy across from you pulls out his cell phone and starts a conversation. And he says something like this. I know. Sure, I did. Well, did you try setting it on fire? Huh. Tell him not on my watch. No, I said, did you try setting it on fire? Anyway, unable to concentrate, you sit in silent rage until he hangs up and you're able to breathe again. And then he starts dialing again. So what the heck is this guy's problem? Everything we know about morality tells us she would be justified in beating him to death with a tire iron.
What the heck is going on here?
Well, the real question is, why are you so annoyed by him? Take a moment to look around our hypothetical train car, or bus. There's the guy behind you trying to teach his girlfriend to pronounce Doritos with correct Spanish phonetics. There's the conductor announcing the name of the next stop for the third annoying time. So why is the guy on the mobile phone the one who's starring in grisly crime scenes in your mind?
Our problem with public cell phone conversation has nothing to do with how cool he thinks he is or even his stupid voice. It's all in our heads. Science has proven that hearing half a conversation, as you're forced to do when close to a cell phone user, is inherently more distracting to the human brain. In one experiment, people were asked to try to concentrate on a task in total silence. Then, while overhearing two people conversing with each other, they performed equally well both times. But when half a conversation was played, performances dropped dramatically. Another study showed that the people on the public transport recalled more details of a one-sided conversation than a two-sided one, even if they've been trying to ignore both.
The human brain likes things to be predictable, and it can't really relax and tune out something that doesn't make sense. You might notice yourself trying to fill in the other half of the phone conversations you overhear. It's the same mechanism that makes it so hard to walk away after you've seen the first 15 minutes of an episode of CSI or Law and Order. The brain naturally hates leaving questions unanswered.
And I can confirm, I mean, it's just annoying when people... And what is it that people have to yell into their phones? Don't they know there's volume control?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crowd pushiness. You're on the jet bridge waiting for the dear folks suddenly on a plane to stow their belongings in the overhead compartment. Suddenly, a fellow member of the boarding group C pushes you from behind. You turn around to smile awkwardly so that the rest of the interminable wait isn't rife with awkwardness, only to be shoved onto the ticklish side of your torso. You're considering withholding that awkward smile after all when you realize the guy with his hands on your breast isn't the real culprit. Ooh. The people in the back are all pushing in toward the plane as though it's a rave, and the plane is a giant porthole in corduroy. Don't they see that there's literally 20 feet of empty space behind them?
What the heck is going on here?
Well, you're just the victim of something that seems to happen whenever a group of people waiting for something hasn't formed an orderly line. For some reason, the folks at the back just can't resist invading your personal space, as if an inch of forward movement will somehow make them reach their destination more quickly. We understand that people get impatient, but generally most of the humanity manages to wait in line at the bank without banging up against the person in front of them like an angry giraffe. So why is it different in the thick of a crowd?
Because there's no angry giraffes?
That might be.
The answer is anonymity breeds sociopathy. Otherwise known as Crack's greater theory of 4chan. Believe it or not.
Chinese.
Yes.
Cool.
This kind of thing is usually not caused by human malice or by a secret society of perverts who are really rubbing into each other on purpose. Instead, it works like...
my secret.
Instead, it works like this. You're standing near the back of a crowd and there's a lot of free space around. So you move forward slightly because, hey, why not?
Why not?
Free space is cheap back here, where there's a lot of it, except that you have just started an Indiana Jones-style rolling boulder of a mess.
Ooh.
Those standing behind you assume that since more space is appearing ahead of them, the whole crowd is moving forward, so they follow suit. If something is blocking the people right in the front, a turnstile, a slow barista, an escaped sewer alligator terrorizing the subway, people are going to start involuntarily cramming into whoever's trapped at the front just to avoid being so uncomfortably close to the fat guy behind him. And because of the idiocy of people everywhere, there's no way for those people in the back to know what they're doing.
Not that they would avert their eyes from the iPhones to try.
Yeah. It's this lack of visibility that's also responsible for the mega version of crowd cramping, which is stampedes. When we hear about stampedes, we tend to think
of greed
or cowboys.
Somebody says stampedes.
I think of the Who concert, but
Cincinnati, yes.
Yes, mass panic, angry sports fans, or some sort of temporary group insanity. We call a stampede death a trampling, as if crowds are like herds of wildebeests, willing to crush human bodies underfoot when a firecracker is set off near their hindquarters. In reality, stampedes have been triggered by things as simple as reaching down to pick up a lost shoe.
Meanwhile, the oblivious people at the back are still pushing forward, and those caught in this tragic man pile are physically unable to do anything but crush those in front of them. Which is too bad, because it takes the weight of only five people pushing like this to cause deathly asphyxiation. Haha, got it. So if you ever find yourself in a situation like this, it doesn't matter how cheap the TV sets are at Best Buy today. Get out.
Yes. Did you hear that a woman pepper sprayed her way through Walmart for Black Friday?
I did. Did you hear about the guy who got arrested and then beat up because all these kids were stealing? I mean, people were stealing games out of kids' hands. And in the process, this one guy got his hand on a game, so he put it in his shirt. When he put it in his shirt, somebody reported him to the police as stealing.
Oh, my.
They arrested him before they asked him what they were doing, and then halfway taking him to the death station, for whatever reason, the cop threw him down and started beating him up. The guy was unconscious for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the holidays are just a joyful time, aren't they?
No, wait a minute. I have one thing to say. In reference to planes, trains, and automobiles, you know, like when people get on the plane, how is it that people from Southwest who board from the front back can load a plane faster than everybody else who boards the plane from the back to the front?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, you go to Southwest and people get in line and they get in their seats and it's like bang, 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 bang. You fly in other airlines like I did recently, not to mention the U.S. Scare out of Pittsburgh. It took twice as long to board the plane even though we were boarding it from the back. You know, you would think things would go faster.
You'd think so. I know. But I saw something on TV about some guy did a study on the best way to board a plane and no one's using it.
I think Southwest works best.
This next one I really like.
Which one's this?
The one on road rage.
It doesn't take much to get most of us enraged when we're driving a car. People cutting us off, people not using their blinkers, people using their blinkers too much, people driving anonymously blue-colored cars. When someone cuts us off when we're on foot, we might feel slightly annoyed, but we don't usually have the same urge to yell, swear, and honk a horn at them.
Not unless there's some major problem in other parts in our life, or we're a clown. We don't write them. We just read them, folks.
I wish I had a honker here. Honk, honk. Anyways, not all drivers are equally aggressive, though. Some of us just take a few deep calming breaths, relaxing, when a guy drives all the way past the line of waiting cars in an exit line and then cuts in the right in front of you. Others actually get out of the cars, break his windshield with a crowbar. Why this extra rage?
What the heck is going on here?
First, a question. What do you think is the best predicament whether someone is prone to road rage and aggressive driving?
If they have a gun in the car?
That would work. No. Whether he's driving a beat-up pickup or a lavender Prius, the presence or absence of prison tattoos, the presence or absence of a crowbar holster in the back of the passenger seat? No. It's the number of bumper stickers on his car.
What?
Even one sticker or decal is enough to raise the likelihood of the driver having to be physically restrained by loved ones after someone doesn't let him into the lane in time.
So how does this work? Well, consider the hypothetical person who gets into your personal space on the street. Unless he's a total idiot, chances are he will make up for it in some way. If he doesn't actually say sorry, he'll usually display some sort of unconscious apologetic body language.
You're number one. You're number one.
Most of the time, this is all that's needed to defuse the bumping into situation. Machines, on the other hand, are incapable of this kind of polite signal, which is probably why you're more likely to yell at your computer when it freezes up than you are to yell at your servant when he drops the caviar.
Gosh, that's a waste of great caviar.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
No, best-selling author's day is complete without a big bowl of jeweled caviar. When driving a car, we humans consider our vehicles a part of our territorial space. So when someone cuts us off or behaves discourteously, we instinctively react as if someone had run into us on the street and then ignored us completely.
Okay, so what's with the rage-causing stickers?
All right, here we go. Scientists have theorized that the act of making a car means that the driver has greater sense of his territorial, in other words, territoriality. In other words, he identifies the car more as an extension of himself, which is why they feel they need to mark it with a sign of his personality. Researchers have found that it makes no difference whether a bumper sticker says visualize world peace or guns don't kill people. I do. Stickers to users to sticker any vehicle-based rudeness means you're basically done the road equivalent of cutting in front of him in line and then flipping them to bird 2 inches from your nose.
My goodness. Interesting. Guess what I have?
Uh-oh, it's another top 17 list?
5.
Oh, cool.
Because, well, we read Holiday Stresses Part 1, so this would be the top 8 signs that the holiday season has people stressed out, Part 2.
The sequel.
Number 8, top-selling advent calendars. Eschew the chocolate for daily increasing doses of Prozac.
Number 7, as he flips his Zippo, the mall elf whispers to you that he must destroy Santa's village in order to save it. Ow.
6, glassy-eyed mom sets some fancy feast next to the advent candles and proceeds to light the cat.
Flame on. Number 5, you're numbered, you're stressed by plowing through the entire spread at the company holiday party, only to realize it's not even your company.
Wedding crashers, company party crashers. Number 4, put a lump of coal in her stocking and tell her that you'd marry her, and her wound so tight she'll crush it into a diamond butt cheeks all over again. That one had to be cleaned up a little for radio.
Yeah, I can see that. Number 3, rule number 1, no one talks about Christmas Club. Rule number 2, no one talks about Christmas Club.
Number 2, store clerks have taken to hanging mistletoe from the back of their belts. Think about it, folks. Just think about it. And then don't write or call.
And the number 1 sign that the holiday season is people stressed out.
This year, it's not his feet that notoriously difficult to buy for Uncle Chet is having held to the fire. There's a theme there. Just a theme in that list.
I love
all things rear.
I love the mistletoe to the back of the belt.
Yes.
I'm going to use that one.
I found a new website.
Okay.
Yes, strictlystressmanagement.com.
Imagine that.
And it has stress jokes.
Okay.
Expressions to use on high stress days.
All right.
You, off my planet.
Nice perfume, but must you marinate in it?
Well, this day was a total waste of makeup.
Allow me to introduce myself.
I'm not crazy. I've just been in a very bad mood for 28 years.
Sarcasm is one of the more services we offer.
Do they ever shut up on your planet?
I'm just working here till a good fast food job opens up.
I'm trying to imagine you with a personality.
Stress is when you wake up screaming and you realize that you haven't fallen asleep yet.
Ooh. Yes, I do that all the time. Ooh. All the time. There's a great little story here. An old man lived alone in Minnesota. He wanted to spade his potato garden, but it was very hard work. His only son, who would have helped him, was in prison. The old man was so stressed he wrote a letter to his son about his situation.
Dear son, I'm feeling pretty bad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my potato garden this year. I hate misdoing the garden because your mother always loved planting things. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. If you were here, all my troubles would be over. I know you would dig the plot for me if you weren't in prison. Love, Dad.
Shortly, the old man received this telegram.
For heaven's sakes, Dad, don't dig up the garden. That's where I buried the guns.
At 4 a.m. the next morning, a dozen police officers showed up and dug up the entire garden without finding any guns. Confused, the old man wrote another note to his son telling him what happened and asked him what to do next. His son's reply...
Go ahead and plant your potatoes, Dad. It's the best I can do from you, for you from here.
I love that. I love that.
Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Bravo, bravo. We have some Irish blessings from IrishBlessings.com.
No.
Would you rather do a rumination?
Yeah. Where are we at?
We're on page 18.
We still got 2 minutes.
Oh, ruminations from ruminate.com.
Room.
Yes, think about these.
Give me some rum.
From Jim Rosenberg. I think one reason they call them relaxed fit jeans is that butt the size of Texas jeans would not sell very well.
Frank Wiseby says, as I struggle to reread my friend's email through my burning eyes, I realize that paradise is not relaxing on the beach with a lime in your cornea.
I think you and your spouse should share the pressures and burdens in your lives. But don't let your coworkers find out, because not everyone approves of cross-stressing.
No.
Now we have Irish blessings.
Now for the Irish blessings.
Yes, from IrishBlessings.com. A good laugh and a long sleep are the best cures in the doctor's book.
A quarrel is like buttermilk. Once it's out of the churn, the more you shake it, the more sour it grows.
Indeed. May all your sorrows be like a shamrock shake, available for a limited time only. Also... may they be a minty green color, putrid to the taste, and contain sodium benzoate as a preservative.
I thought we were going nice on that one. Off the edge.
I miss shamrock shakes.
I love shamrock shakes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Except, do they turn your teeth green?
I don't know. I never looked at my teeth when I drink them.
You should.
No.
It's frightening.
Unless I'm of course it is Halloween. Anyways.
So are you feeling more relaxed now?
Totally stressed.
Oh, no. You just wait. The day's coming. Tomorrow is Monday morning, you know.
Oh, jeez.
That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Cat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Folks, have a great week.